Welcome to WJR's Internet Advisor Podcast. Catch the live show weekends on News Talk 760 WJR and online at InternetAdvisor.net. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome aboard an incredibly jam-packed program. Hi, I'm Foster Brown, and you have arrived for a great show. It's the Internet Advisor, and today we are going to be dipping into the world of social media. We have our media expert, Emily Hay from Hey There Social Media, and a whole bunch of other people in the studio. Why, we're even going to be going to the jungles of Guatemala to talk about how the Internet is impacting life there as well. It's all coming up, as well as answering your questions on the Internet Advisor. Stay tuned. Welcome aboard the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown here, and delighted to be with you. And a great weekend, especially since I've got a studio full of people and all sorts of interesting things going on today. First of all, let's welcome the team in here. Gary Baker, good to have you aboard.
It's always a pleasure to be here on a really fun show today. I can't believe kind of the excitement that's going on here in the studio. We've got the studio packed. People are going to hear from each one of us.
I think so. We also
even
have
a couple gifts. Yep. Even a couple guests that didn't know they were going to be on the radio.
A little guerrilla radio going on here as well. Shane Hamlin with us. Speaking of guerrilla radio, somebody's been involved in radio for a long time and one of our tech experts. Shane, thanks so much for being with us.
I love coming in, and today is going to be a fun day for me, I think.
I think it is for all of us, and especially because we have the lovely Emily Hay with us, who is a social media expert. How are you doing, Emily?
Hey there, Foster. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you with
there.
Us.
Hey there. Is that a plug
yes.
for the old show?
That's
hey
right.
there, social media.
It fits.
It fits.
And she brings a lot of class to this team, I'll tell you.
Absolutely. And by the way, today, Emily, what we're going to be doing is anchoring our program, as a matter of fact, talking about social media in general, because we have you in once a month to do that. But in particular today, we're going to be touching on a bunch of things. And one of them with you in a little bit will be TV and social TV and mm-hmm. kind of the transformation that's been happening with the connection between social media and TV.
Absolutely. Everything, again, that we're doing in our real lives is blending into our online lives, and that definitely goes right into how we watch television.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of dovetailing with that, we have a couple in studio with us as well we're going to be talking with shortly, and that's Eric and Sherry Kam, who have found ways of taking all of the tools that you work with and in their own personal lives, business lives, et cetera, have got tremendous applications. We have special guests who are with them as well. They'll be talking.
Sounds exciting.
And then we're going to be talking also with Tina Watson and John Barry a little later on about taking technology to the jungles.
That's right.
GE has a special program where mm-hmm. they reach out with technology and around the world.
And this one happens to be a little field trip they took to Guatemala. So they were in the jungles of Guatemala getting technology all the way back into the jungle. And that's going to be quite a story. So we're looking forward to that.
And then Eric Anderson will be around at the beginning of the next hour. We're going to be talking about the Big Apple event last week, kind of his analysis of it. And as I told you, we got jam-packed program. Shane, you've got something I want to talk about right now because it's on the homepage there. It's appropriate for the weekend. Some people will be hearing this recorded version or the podcast, but mm-hmm. really it makes sense here because it's about Father's Day.
Yes. I mean, there's obviously a lot of fathers out there that get gifts that I don't think, maybe they didn't like or didn't want, but I've created a list of five gifts if you haven't gotten a gift yet for your father that I think will be just perfect.
Uh-huh. And we put that on the homepage.
Yes.
So if you go to InternetAdvisor.net, go down in our show notes a little bit, you'll see Shane's best tech gifts for Father's Day under $100.
And that's key, under $100.
Under $100. You know what? The symbol I put in there? You see that? A tie?
Yes.
With a line through it?
That's
no
right.
ties. No,
no ties. Or power tools.
Or power tools. Now, we have some guests who are going to be with us a little later on, but we thought we'd bring them in right now because certain young ladies are with us in studio who have made a little purchase for their daddy for Father's Day. Young lady, would you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, I'm Clarissa Kam.
Clarissa Kam, thank you.
I'm Audrey, I'm her sister.
And Audrey, all right. And what did you get for your father?
We got him a backpack that has a battery in it that charges all his electronics.
Oh, that is sweet. Dad uses a lot of electronics, I understand. Huh?
Charging on the go, eh?
Oh, yeah. You usually have to keep that Android charged up, and it's always a problem when I'm on the plane to be able to find a place to plug it in and stay mobile, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because, sure, you can plug it into the wall, but then you have to stand in the same spot for a long time.
So you certainly do. Yeah, that's right.
So I want to know, girls, how come your dad knows what he's getting for Father's Day? I have to wait till tomorrow.
Well, he's leaving tomorrow.
Oh, he is.
So we gave it to him today.
So we're pretending today's Father's Day?
Yeah. Okay.
That's what a great gift.
Isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
So where do you get one of those? Say that real loudly in case my family's listening.
where did you get it? Where'd you get it?
Oh. Ask my mom.
All right, Mom, where did you guys get it? Where do you remember we got it?
Yeah, actually, we went online, and I think it's called Charge and Go.
Charge and Go, okay.
I think
okay.
so.
No, it's so. A back. It's like a full backpack?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll.
Oh, wow.
He has an 18-inch screen, which is a larger laptop, so we
okay.
wanted to make sure that all of his gadgets could fit in and that it had enough battery life to be able to charge a full
wow.
laptop
so
on the go.
So you plug the backpack in and charge it, and then as you're on your go then, Eric, you'll have all the power, all the juice you need.
Right, the idea, yeah.
It's like Iron Man.
Pretty much, yeah. It's not a self-sustaining thing like Iron Man's. But no, the idea is that you plug it in. It's got a 6,000 milliamp hour battery in it. So,
wow.
And then it's already got three pockets that are already wired with an iPod connector, micro USB, a mini USB, and then it's got a spare USB port in it.
You have just created technology envy all over our listening audience. Dads everywhere say, "Well, I want one of them." Girls, you did well. You did very well. Congratulations, ladies. You did very well. By the way, you were hearing there from our guests who will be on with us in just a few minutes, as a matter of fact, talking about how they're using social media. But you can hear their girls are well-wired as well. That's Eric and Sherry Camby with us.
You know, Foster, when people are, if they haven't gotten their Father's Day gift and they want to, you know, when Emily said, you know, art mimicking life or life mimicking art, whichever, and maybe both. We also have another link on the homepage to a site that I just found out about today. My wife is having, well, it's a garage sale, but because they wanted to charge more, they called it an estate sale. You would not believe this website. I just found out about it. They did this without me, which is why it's so good. But anyway,
all right. Well, you'll find a link to that, by the way, on our homepage as well.
Yeah, you can still get a Father's Day gift there.
There you go. All right. At the bottom of our page, it's called Ranny's Objects of Art. Hey, we'll be back in just a minute to continue our conversation with our two guests in studio, Eric and Sherry Camp, talking about their social connectedness. Welcome back once again to a special edition of the Internet Advisor. I guess they're all special in my eyes. Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Shane Hamlin in studio, and also with us this week as part of our monthly visit with Emily Hay, our social media expert. Emily, good to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Foster.
And we'll be talking about social TV with her in just a minute. But Emily, we brought a couple along here in the studio. Gary actually made the connection here, and I'm so glad to have Eric and Sherry Kim with us. Now, get up close to your microphones, and we asked them to be here, Emily, because Eric spoke at a gathering that Gary was at, and he was so on fire about social media that Gary says, "We got to have this guy in the studio."
This was so fun because, you know, as most people know that listen a bit, I'm at the Society for Manufacturing Engineers. Our annual convention, our annual conference was in Cleveland last weekend, and I go to this session that Eric is giving on social media. I want to see, you know, how we're doing this and what we're saying to our members and whatnot, and this was the first time that I had the opportunity to meet Eric, and he's right here in Troy in one of our local chapters, but we just hadn't met. And he immediately starts out and says, "You know, I'm not an IT guy, so let me just tell you how I use this." And then for the next 45 to 50 minutes, he was absolutely captivating in the way that he described it. He was excited and passionate. And Eric, it was just a pleasure to listen to you. I wanted our listeners to have the same experience. So welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So when did you catch fire on this? When did you get hold of all this social media stuff?
My first exposure to social media was actually partly to blame with my wife. she was doing a little bit of Facebook, and she was using a Facebook to promote her the PTA and a PTO.
Oh, okay.
And there were some activities there, and she said, "Well, you need to tell me how this looks on your side." So I had to create my first Facebook account and things like that. Shortly after that, then it took off. I started to get into LinkedIn. I've been using LinkedIn now for quite some time.
LinkedIn, by the way, folks, is a professional, kind of a contact network. Pardon.
Yeah,
social
networking for businesses.
The world's largest.
Business people.
Yeah, for businesses. No, Emily, for businesses in particular.
Professional
That's what it's,
social network.
Yeah,
okay.
Professional.
Right. So You know, most of the people I knew were using LinkedIn primarily just as a way to put your resume or your CV online and try to get connected with other people who are in a similar vertical or in a similar trade as you.
Yeah.
And we started using LinkedIn quite heavily within the Society of Manufacturing Engineers, where I was one of the volunteer leaders of the society. And we started using LinkedIn to try to actually recruit new members and try to find ways to interact with our members a little bit better.
Excellent. Now, Sherry, let's bring you into the conversation. By the way, folks, our homepage is an important resource during the program because we put a lot of information in there. And for instance, if you go to internetadvisor.net, next to Eric and Sherry Cam's name, you'll see a hot link there to making social media work for you. And if you click off on that, you'll see a lot of the things that Eric and Sherry are going to talk about. So, Sherry, you actually were the one who brought the whole social media atmosphere into the family.
Correct. Yes. And you look at some of the social media tools that are out there and you see what they're intended for. But then the fun part begins when you have an intent or you have a need that you have to fill. And then you've got to take that social media and actually apply it and make sure that other people are getting those connections and they're seeing what it is that you're trying to do so that they are able to call the same information that you think that they need. So
you were involved in the PTO before social media,
yes,
and now afterwards,
yes,
it's a lot easier afterwards,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, it sure is.
I'm curious about a dynamic here, and Emily, let's see if you can confirm this. It seems, you know, the doorway into social media was through you, Sherry, as a woman. I'm wondering if, in particular, with Facebook and social media, that is a big entry point for families in general into social media. Am I
absolutely. No, I mean, again, you know, we women tend to be social creatures. We multitask. We use whatever tools we need to get a job done.
That's right.
And you can see, too, how females might make the decisions in a household. So, obviously, you know, Sherry did the
work. Eric's snickering, but yeah, every man in here knows that's the truth.
At least is the door opener in these decisions. So, case in point.
Yep.
Excellent. Yeah. So, that was the beginning of it. But then you really jumped after that, Eric. You began to see applications in your own business settings.
Right. So as I started getting more and more involved with the society and with the social media, then an important part of social media is that you're usually trying to drive people toward content, right? So you have to have some content. So it's not good to build a social network around the fact that we're just all connected and we're not creating content.
Very good point.
So,
very good point.
I started blogging, like, well, it's a bad habit, actually. I maintain, I think, four, maybe five different blogs.
Now, tell us what a blog is. To back up for people to keep up with the vocabulary there we're spinning off here. What is a blog?
The blog is it's short for weblog, right? And it started off as an electronic, internet-connected diary, if you would. So you use it the same way you would a journal. So my first blog, actually, I started off because my daughters gave me a gift when I started traveling. I started traveling.
Another gift from the girls.
Yeah.
Oh, and this is a cool one. You got to tell us about this one.
Well, it's called String Girl. And if any of you are familiar with Flat Stanley or the story of Flat Stanley, my daughters gave me a little toy. They called it String Girl. And I started carrying her with me whenever I traveled. So I could, quote, not be lonely. Because I was spending so much time on the road.
And you know what? We have got to have String Girl in the WJR studio. We did not get a photo of her, and we got to get her posted up there.
Oh, definitely.
Because if you go to this site, you will see String Girl in all sorts of settings.
This is kind of like
around the world.
I've seen people take like little teddy bears and do this all over the world, too.
Yep.
It's that same kind of concept, right?
Exactly.
Wherever you go, and you travel a lot.
Pretty much every month I'm transatlantic or globally traveling.
So this keeps you really connected with the girls then, right? And with the rest of the family, et cetera.
And so many other people now, they all want to know where String Girl shows up, on the beach or wherever, right? And which beach, which continent?
What are you going to say, Emily?
Sorry, does String Girl have a Facebook page?
Well, actually, String Girl does have a Facebook page with a whopping 2 fans so far. So Facebook was not her primary medium at first, but
It should be Pinterest, right?
Oh, my Lord. Here we go. Every one of these things works. But I want to say this, folks, because it began very organically for you, very naturally. You want to stay connected with the family or with business associates. And this is it, Emily. There's so many tools out there that you can then plug into. And I'm going to guess that every one of your blogs is free. It's posted on a free site.
Yes.
Like,
I'm using Blogspot.
Blogspot or WordPress. So folks, anybody can do this. It can be, we had a lady in here with the Daily Cookies. Remember that?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Doing
absolutely.
That? The last time you were in here, Emily?
Right.
And this is another great way of doing it.
Well, and you know what? In the Society for Manufacturing Engineers, I mean, we're all about content, but it's all about using content to drive conversations and connections and conversations. And you have to find the experts. So this is a way for Eric to put stuff up on the site, and people go, wow, that's really good. I got to talk to this guy. So he becomes, and it says right on the site, you know, yet another self-proclaimed diet expert, right? You know, it's, but he becomes known as the expert in his field, right? Mm-hmm. Or certainly one of them. So, you know, what a great way to help people understand who you are, what you are, and what you know.
Sure.
Well, and people have actually even quoted the self-proclaimed diet expert.
Sherry, what's it like living with a self-proclaimed expert, huh?
Well, we have to make room for the other things that we do, but I have to say a lot of our personal photos end up with String Girl in them.
Yeah,
so
I can tell. That's a great story.
I'm curious, how has this all affected your family life?
Well, with the inclusion of Skype and with String Girl, the girls have had an opportunity to see a lot of things that they might not have seen alongside of him, you know, feeling like they've gone to the ruins in Greece and places where they might not have been able to go. And then, of course, when we take them there, I know what this is about. It doesn't seem so unfamiliar, and it doesn't seem so scary. So it does close the world for them in understanding that it's tangible, it's real. You can
and
get there.
It opens it up to them, too.
That, too. Correct.
Yeah,
yes.
So it makes it, that's a big, scary place out there, but it gives you familiar points of contact with it.
Correct, yes. And so then it becomes a lexicon, and then it becomes that memory, and it isn't, right, you have to at least be introduced twice before it's a memory. So they've got it to keep with them, and then it becomes personal.
I love, Emily, all the ways in which these people have taken these specific tools and have used them to enrich business atmospheres and also in your personal lives. You folks stick around, okay? Eric?
Sure.
And Sherry Camber with us. We're talking about social media and making social media work for them. That's a link on our homepage. Back in just a moment with Emily Hay to talk about social TV, the next frontier. So glad to have you back with us here for the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Shane Hamlin, and our lady of the social media, Emily Hay, in studio. And Emily will be talking about social TV in just a moment. But Shane, you have a very timely announcement for us.
That's right. The String Girl account, String Girl account on Facebook now has three friends that like him.
Should we just guess at who the other other friend is?
Great photos, though.
Really?
Tons of great. You know, if they get any more friends, you're going to need a passport for those the next time you travel.
Yeah. she's somewhere around 500,000 frequent flyer miles.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Oh, there we go.
Blogspot, right? Blogspot.org. Or just go to our website, internetadvisor.net, and you can link off to
it. And it's right behind Eric and Sherry Cam's name is Making Social Media Work For You. And you'll find all those links in there, including Sherry's to the PTO at Parcells.
Yes.
Thank you very much. And Emily Hay is with us right now. Emily, this is your month to come in here and to be our in-house expert. And we've got so much that has to do with social media in here so far.
Absolutely.
But you have a new wrinkle on this. I am absolutely fascinated to find out more about that. TV, it's actually social TV.
Sure. Have you heard the term?
No, this is the first time I've heard of it.
Okay.
So we think of TV just broadcast, right?
One way.
You sit on the couch like a potato, you know, with the clicker. And it's more than that now.
That's exactly what's happening. So just like color came to TV, social
media. I remember that. Unfortunately, I do remember when that happened.
I do too.
So you can relate with this then. Color came to TV, and now, you know, social media, again, it impacts everything that we do. So clearly it can enhance our experience with what we're seeing on TV, and it's a great way to kill some commercial time.
Commercials, you know, people just use, you know, the new technology today.
I was going to say, with the DVR,
right?
What's a commercial.
Right. And I think a lot of people too think social TV is, you know, some very sophisticated type of technology, and it's really an umbrella term. I mean, even Wikipedia considers it just a general term for technology that has to support communication and social interaction with the context of TV. So for example, if you've voted via text message for American Idol contestants. Or maybe if you've seen just hashtags with a certain topic on the bottom of the
screen. Explain a hashtag for people who admit.
And by the way, you're participating and experiencing social TV just by being aware of those things. So when I say, you know, whether you're watching CNN or, you know, local news, you'll see a hashtag, so a pound sign.
That's it.
And then maybe a word.
Yep.
And so that's social TV. That's a cue for someone who's watching that program to say, if you want to jump over to Twitter and see what everyone's saying in the Twitter sphere about the program, then that's the way you find
that. So you put that pound sign and then the word after it into your window on the browser, and then blink, it'll take you off to that particular?
Right when you're on Twitter, any tweet that has that hashtag in it will come up into the stream.
So that you can follow the conversation that's going on.
So reality TV becomes really reality TV? Is that what's going on here?
And yeah. I know a lot of people can start to roll their eyes because really how real is reality TV? But it can be very productive when it comes to watching news broadcasts and maybe political debates.
Well, sure. Actually, and Gary really has a point there, that this really is reality TV, mm-hmm. where you as an individual or I as an individual can comment on a process that's going on. Mm-hmm. I've known, I've seen this with some big events at times that they've had, you know, kind of a running, if you go online, for instance, sometimes you can see a running tweet. Are they doing that on TVs now? Can we get TV sets that will, I know, Shane, you're
you know, I've always wanted to do this. I've always wanted to say, look behind you. He's right behind you. Really, he's right there. You know, I mean, can I do that, Emily?
Yeah.
It's coming. I mean, there's I think it's called Glass House or something's coming where you're going to be able to interact with this reality show via Twitter and all these other things.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
So there's ways to interact, but yeah. It's getting crazy, all
isn't
that
it?
Stuff, isn't it?
But I mean, on I the TV screen, up. I'm wondering if on the TV screens eventually will be, I've seen, for instance, on CNN at times, mm-hmm. where on the right-hand side, they have a trailer that's running down, kind of like on a Facebook page, you know,
those,
that news feed's going on, and they have a Twitter feed going on the right-hand side. So is that kind of this?
Yeah, I'm forced to watch more ESPN than I care to admit, and I see it all the time, that's that unprecedented access to athletes, to teams, to personalities to see what they're saying and really engage with them. And you'll see that the networks or personalities that are really good at it make sure to engage those people that are saying things on Twitter so that people continue to do it.
Well, you know, it was funny because not only the National Hockey League, but the National Basketball League just finishing up or in their last final tournaments, there's been a lot of the players that are actually tweeting some of their thoughts around the games and whatnot, some of them that are actually on the teams and some of them that are done now, you know, lost their last game and they're out. But it's interesting because you see this whole backplane of activity, right?
Right. So really, this kind of, again, goes under the umbrella of social TV. Our TV watching experience is no longer just a one-way conversation. It can be, you know, multidimensional. And then another thing that we're seeing is not only are people talking about the topic that they're watching, but they're talking with people that are actually at the event, even if it's not the personalities themselves.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. By the way, folks, if you go to internetadvisor.net, I want to make sure that you know that we have this tremendous resource called our show notes. In there, there's a live link from where it says social TV. If you click on that, it'll take you to an article that Emily wrote. It's called Social TV, Watch It, Tweet It, Experience It with a Tweet Team. So you've got to tell me about your tweet team.
Sure.
That is going to be in a very special place soon.
Yeah, actually, you have to go just below some of that activity to get to the social TV link. Before that, you go to something that's really exciting that's happening right here.
Oh, great. And I mean, again, like we said, with social TV, you know, watching something, experiencing it via Twitter, then there's dimension of still being at something live. So we're kind of talking about this activity as the work of a tweet team, you know, being on site and helping a live broadcast engage their viewers even further. And with the Target fireworks coming
it's
up, it's something
the
that
Target fireworks.
Yeah.
That
you
so
can
how,
20,
how
25th of this month, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Coming up very, very soon, a big show in Detroit.
In Detroit. Yep.
How will you react? How will you interact then with the coverage of the fireworks?
Sure. So a lot of it will be sharing some behind the scenes or some updates or things that are going on that, again, might not necessarily make the live television broadcast,
right,
but still has viewers feeling that they're live and part of the event.
Wow. So a local TV station that is beginning to use this as a way of engaging their listeners or, pardon me, their viewers on another level entirely as well.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I really like those little twirly ones when they come down, and I keep waiting and watching for those. Is somebody going to, like, tell me, okay, it's the third one from now, right? Am I going to be able to get, a preview of...
I don't know if you'll get spoiler alerts, but at least...
that's what they are.
At least live pictures of things happening.
Yeah. All right, oohs and ahs. How is the... As somebody who deals with social media, what are some of these frontiers you're seeing so opening up right now, for instance, in media that maybe didn't consider using it beforehand? And are, you know, like some of the traditional, like TV and some of these other things, how are they beginning to use social media to enrich what's going on and maybe to get some people back?
Sure. Well, a lot of it, again, is just the acknowledgement of people are consuming their media in different formats today, that if it's not just via TV or via radio, then how can you, again, make sure to integrate where people are spending their time, but doing it in an authentic manner so it's not just TV one-way conversation becoming a TV one-way conversation through Twitter. It's talking back with the people that are, you know, your viewers.
That's very different for TV because it has simply been, and radio as well. I've been a talk show host all my career, so I've been used to the two-way conversation. But generally, we talk about broadcasting, which means I'm pushing something out. Mm-hmm. This is an entirely different experience because something is being pushed back in. As a matter of fact, it's being invited in.
Absolutely. And again, people that are, they're very active social media users, you know, I know we keep saying about Twitter in particular, but that's the strongest, most authentic way for any entity to connect and validate the social media community and really continue the relationship other than when they're watching television. You
know, now, break that down for a second, because validating the social media community, that's a mouthful. What does that mean?
So they're basically the TV stations are not saying, we only want to hang out with you if you're watching our show. It's saying we understand that you're spending your time there and we want to continue having our relationship, engaging with you, and not just through the TV. So that's the part that speaks the loudest. That, in other words, they're not turning a blind eye.
For a lot of listeners, I think, who maybe are not as much into social media as, maybe let's see, our younger demographic might be, yeah, I think it can kind of seem almost silly, almost superfluous. But this is really the cutting edge for a lot of communication that's going on right now. In other words, if they don't get involved in this, they risk getting left on an ice floe that's heading out.
And a lot of stations, I mean, this isn't completely new by any means. I mean, there are thousands and thousands of followers of TV stations, but we can see how, again, empowering the voices in the community in a way that we've never been able to before. How often could a station get feedback, real feedback from people watching their show at that moment? So it's something that they should really embrace because it's a huge opportunity.
Well, this must be a big opportunity for you as a company. Hey, there's social media, isn't it? It's a big step.
Yeah, I mean, we're really excited because, again, our team is made up of people that live and breathe social media. We have a really authentic way of doing the work for our clients. And so, yeah, it's an exciting
time. So where will you be during the fireworks?
And you're not all teenagers, right? I mean, you're real business people, too.
Yep.
So
PR,
where will you be during the fireworks, then, when this is going on?
We will be all over from, you know, down along the river, in the Miller Garage, wherever we can get, you know, some access and some interesting content to share with people.
That is really cool. Hey there, social media. By the way, folks, again, go to internetadvisor.net and you'll see all of these kind of resources and a very good article on social TV that we link to from there. Emily, hang around because we've got somebody else coming in who has applied the social media blogging to Guatemala and a project they've got going on there in just a moment. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Internet Advisor. Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and Shane Hamlin in studio today, along with our very special guest. Once a month, we have Emily A. Hay in here from Hey There Social Media. Emily, always good to have you with
us. Thanks for having me.
Emily is here to help us kind of corral a lot of information today, Emily, on social media. It's incredible.
You've got lots going on today.
Oh, wow. All the different corners we've come from with business and home. You're talking about social TV, and now we have some folks who have done some international traveling, and with us in studio, we have Tina Watson, who has been with us many times around. Tina, so good to have you back in.
It's good to be here.
Now, Tina, am I right that you work with GE?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Yep. Tina works with GE, and also...
And just got a promotion recently, too.
Ooh.
Ooh, yeah.
Congratulations.
Even a bigger shot than before.
And Tina actually really manages, runs... the Baker's Dozen Career Networking Group. So thank you again for doing all that you do in helping run that group. And so many people have found jobs through there, then thanks to you, Tina. So
and we
you.
Coordinate it through LinkedIn.
And we do.
Yes. Yeah, there you absolutely. Go. Another social media tool. That's excellent.
We couldn't do this. I mean, at one point, we had over 400 people out of work that we were trying to find jobs for.
That's really cool.
We couldn't not have done that without a LinkedIn group, right?
Right.
Yeah. Now, Tina,
so thank you.
You and GE Works were involved in a very special project. And I'd like you to introduce your guest who's with us in studio today, who was involved in that program.
Okay. Well, GE Works is a program that GE has that highlights things that employees have gotten involved in. Okay. So that's where that part ties in. But I went on one of the trips that the Appropriate Technology Collaborative has. I went to had the opportunity to go to Guatemala. And John Barry, who's here with us, is the executive director of ATC.
John, thank you so much for joining us.
Good to be here. Thanks.
Tell us, what is Appropriate Technology Collaborative? That's a mouthful, but what does it mean?
Well, it's a lot of words, but we design technology for low-income people in developing countries. We take really cool designs and make them affordable to people who have very few resources.
Now, let me just tell folks, again, our homepage and the show notes are your link to a lot of information that we probably won't get to talk about, but you get to see and consume afterwards. And we have a link there to Appropriate Technology Collaborative. When you click on that, it'll take you off to your page, John, and the project in particular that you were involved with, I understand, in Guatemala. Can you talk a little bit about that? And I think, Tina, you were involved in that, too.
Well, sure. We had an open project where anybody could volunteer to work with us to install solar panels at a small school in Guatemala on Lake Atitlan. We also had five other projects simultaneously because we had a very large group of volunteers show up. And it was a very intense week for everybody, and we managed to accomplish all five projects.
What a beautiful part of Guatemala, too, isn't it? That it's a beautiful lake.
It's stunningly beautiful. We were at the poorest village on the most beautiful lake in the world.
Yeah, so I've been on the other side of the lake, Panochel. Mm-hmm. So,
what are the technologies, Fritz? You mentioned solar panels. What are the kind of things that you were bringing? And Tina, were you involved in this particular project as well?
I went on the particular trip that he just referred to, but he's been on several. ATC goes down regularly.
Yeah, I work about 25% of the time out of Guatemala.
Oh, wow.
So, one technology, we have many you can check about on the website, but one that's really taking off is we have a small solar panel for people that don't have electricity, and it's a small solar panel and two LED lights for their house. People who don't have electricity still want to see at night, and they light their homes with kerosene and candles. Yeah. It turns out kerosene and candles are really expensive,
maybe
60 to 80 cents a week. Yeah. For less money, we can sell them a solar panel, two LED lights, and a cell phone charger for 50 cents a week. So they actually save money from the first week they own the system. So this is a technology that it's much brighter than kerosene lamps are, so people can work at night.
Yep.
And the kids can do their homework at night for the first time. So we have families that are making more money, saving money, and the kids are doing better in school.
And there's also security. I'm scared to say this from having lived in Latin America and some very poor areas. It's also security as well.
Absolutely.
Light means you safe. Because dark is where the bad guys hang out.
So, you know, I'm just going to the website and seeing some of the photographs, and it's really interesting. These kids are learning quite a bit from you and from some of the volunteers that are going down. I see one photograph, pretty dynamic looking, where they're all pointing to and using the solar panel to collect energy.
By the way, photo by Tina Watson.
Thank you, Tina.
And so we have these designs. So we have a solar refrigerator for vaccine storage. We have a treadle pump, which rural farmers can pump water to their farms. They can make three times as much money with a treadle pump.
Oh, wow.
But how we use social media is that these are available online for free for anybody to copy. And we get a lot of nonprofits around the world picking up these designs. They've been downloaded 6,700 times, and we have projects in 23 different countries.
Isn't it incredible, Emily, that social, in the sense of sending the network out now, where you take beautiful ideas and free, they're going to people who maybe not ever had a chance to get to those plans.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Extraordinary.
And now we're getting feedback from those people. They're saying, well, we built it kind of like you drew it, but we changed it here and there. And this, we think, is an improvement.
Excellent.
And so we're actually now able to put those back in with the original drawings.
What they call kind of crowdsourcing? This is almost like that, isn't it?
Crowd drawing or crowd inventing, eh?
Crowdsourcing, you know, putting an idea out there and having many people collaborate on it, whether it's naming a book or, you know, coming up with a better way to make a solar panel.
I really want to underline this, folks, because sometimes I think people see social media as silly. But it's anything but, folks. I mean, you are empowering people all over the world. That is incredible, John, what you guys are doing.
Well, thank you. And the project that we did in Guatemala most recently, where Tina went on, was an example of where we installed solar panels at a school where they're going to be teaching students how to design and install solar panels.
So it
becomes a demonstration project.
Self-replicating.
Absolutely.
John, I have a quick question. You keep talking about photos and whatnot. It sounds like video would be a really good way to experience what you're seeing down there. Are you guys using video and have a YouTube channel?
We do have a YouTube channel. It only has a couple of videos on it. The University of Michigan sent a documentary film crew with us last year.
Wow.
And so we have a couple of nice documentaries. That was very kind of them. We had a lot of Michigan biomedical engineering students working with us on a project. And they sent a crew.
Emily, would you explain a YouTube channel? Because I don't know people can understand that you can create one. Is that right?
Absolutely. Totally free. You use your Gmail, you know, your Gmail name to set up your YouTube channel. And all you do with some of the cameras today, they just plug right in through USB on your computer and you can upload video in no time. But especially, you know, as we were just saying with John, with something as visual as he's involved with, people might go right to YouTube before they even Google or check a website or check a blog or anything written. They might watch the video version.
So you can, anybody could create a YouTube channel and then just use that to be their broadcast outlet, really become their own broadcast station in some ways.
Sure. It's a nice way if you're a business, maybe you want to take a quick video explaining something, doing a demonstration, having a customer, you know, give a testimonial of why your product's great. But yeah, YouTube videos are not just for silly kids using skateboards.
When you think about it, something that's a little more difficult to understand and you're trying to explain it in words and maybe a photograph or so, just put a video up and people see you doing it.
And that collaborative nature too, John. You know, you can have the blueprints and everything else, but here you can do a step-by-step, watch something happen.
Oh, we certainly want to be including that in future things. Mm-hmm. We don't have YouTube videos of our technologies online yet, but it's a great idea.
And it could supersede languages as well, because you can visually watch something that you might not be able to give the vocabulary for.
Absolutely. And because we're in so many countries, people are trying to translate our drawings. And so we're coming up with a new drawing format that uses fewer words and more graphics. The idea is that we want to have our technologies as simple to use as IKEA furniture.
Folks, this is incredible, folks. This is high-level technology that's being brought to people of the world.
And
I've got to mention, Tina, you've got a link here to Tina Watson's Guatemala trip. It's part of that. It's in the show notes as well. If you click on there, you've got a blog. It talks about your experience down there. You've been kind of a silent partner here today, but I want to thank you for bringing John and for linking up our audience with this as well. Tina, thanks so much again.
Thank you.
John Barry, thank you, and thanks to the Appropriate Technology Collaborative for the wonderful work you're doing.
Thanks.
Emily, thank you for being around with us in this first hour. And if you'd like, stick around. Maybe we can answer some questions for people if they call in as well.
That'd be great.
All right, this next hour, we're going to be doing lots. We're going to be talking about with Eric Anderson about the Apple announcements next week. But most of all, we're going to be taking your phone calls at 800-859-0957. 800-859-0957. Get on the horn, and we'll be starting to answer your questions when we get back for the second hour of the Internet Advisor.
You've been listening to a podcast of the first hour of WJR's Internet Advisor. You can find more resources to protect your computer on our webpage at internetadvisor.net. Have a question? Post it in our discussion forums on our webpage at internetadvisor.net.
Thank you so much for joining us on this hour number two of the Internet Advisor. I'm Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Shane Hammond, our experts in studio here with us to answer your technical questions. And we also have Emily Hay, our social media expert here as well. So if you have a question about Facebook or Twitter or whatever, LinkedIn, whatever it may be, this is a good hour to call in as well. The number 800-859-0957. 800-859-0957. Phone calls are lining up. Make sure that you're in line to get some answers to your questions. And a special good afternoon or good evening, whenever you happen to be tuning in to us here on the Internet Advisor. Delighted to have you with us. And our crew today, our tech experts here ready to answer your questions are, of course, Gary Baker, the Internet Advisor. Gary, good to have you here.
It's great to be here.
And Shane Hamlin, filling in ably for Cal Carson and Ed Riddell, who are off. Good to have you here.
Filling a spot of two seats today.
Two. Shane, it is always great to have you here.
It's good to have you. Thank By you. The way, Shane has got some very special thing he's going to do during the entire hour. He's got a list, and we put it on our homepage at internetadvisor.net. It's Shane's best tech gifts for Father's Day under $100.
Yeah, I'll drop those in throughout the hour.
That sounds great.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
And, you know, Shane, you know, while he's a real techie now and works with one of the good technology companies here in this area, we can tell who that is.
CompuQuest.
CompuQuest, yes. Right. And they've done a sponsor here on our show before. Yes. Mm-hmm. And but he's an old radio guy. So.
Yeah, I've been doing it for a little while.
Emily Hay is the other charming voice you hear as well. And by the way, she is bringing a really good resource for you. We are open for all kinds of computer questions, etc. But also, Emily is here as a social media expert. So if you have something that's been bugging you about Facebook or about Twitter or LinkedIn or what you know, you name it, she's the person to ask those questions too. So when you call 800-859-0957, you can also have questions for her as well.
And actually, great. As I look across the table there, I see a Mac, but I see pink keys, really pink keys.
This is one of my must-have.
Yeah. I don't know if you can see it, but she's got a pink iPhone.
See, I'm colorblind, so I thought it was gray.
It's both.
Eric Anderson is the voice you hear there. Matter of fact, the man who is the host of the Mac Minute here. And we've asked Eric to step in here at the beginning of this hour before we get to Ray and Linda, who are standing by there. And your calls as well at 800-859-0957. But Eric, we want to take a few moments for you. Last week was the big WWDC, the Worldwide Developers Conference for Apple, and they made some big announcements. They talked about some hardware they're putting out, new MacBooks. They talked about a new operating system for the mobile and also a new operating system for the desktop.
Mm-hmm. So when am I going to get my new Mac, my new iPhone? I wanted the new iPhone to be
announced. So am I. And, yeah. One of the rumors I heard is you're going to hear from that maybe September, October. That's when you're going to hear from that. And right. I'll tell you right now, my contract's up in June or July, so I'm ready as much as you are.
Yeah, okay.
Just hang it in there. So that was one of the things that didn't get announced. What did you make of the announcements?
Well, it seems to me that a lot of what you've heard from the Worldwide Developers Conference is this is kind of like Apple trying to get all of their ducks in a row and try to have all of their hardware have some of the same features, no matter if you get a MacBook or if you get an iPad, an iPhone. So that's kind of what you're seeing here with, like, for example, the Retina display. That's now on the MacBook Pro. That's now on the iPad 3. That's now on the iPhone. So you're seeing them try to kind of get all their ducks in a row, I guess is probably the best way to put it.
Okay. So they're also tightening up then their operating systems. For instance, what is iOS 6? People have heard about this. What is that beast, and how is it different from, say, the Mountain Lion?
So that's going to be the new operating system for your iDevices, like your iPad.
Your mobile devices.
Right, your mobile devices, your iPad, your iPhone. You're going to see that they update it from time to time. They add a few new features. One of the coolest features, I think, at least for me, that they're going to be throwing in is it's going to be a Do Not Disturb feature. So, because you guys know I have a crazy schedule. So when I get a text at 3 a.m. from my friends going, hey, what are you doing? I can ignore that. It'll go to voicemail and I'll get it tomorrow. Perfect.
But that's actually maybe when you're up and it's, the middle
of the
day.
At his age, he's just getting home.
You never know. So at least now I can set that based on what my actual schedule is.
Right. I understand that Maps is another big thing, that Apple is really kind of putting a hole in the boat for Google.
They are. They've had a war with Google.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Steve Jobs declared a holy war on Google.
Well, one of the rumors is that Google is going to try to get into the phone market. So that's why you're kind of seeing Apple break away from them now while they can. And what they're doing now is they're starting their own map service. So you're going to see, instead of Google Maps in iOS 6, you're going to see Apple Maps.
And I understand that finally. I mean, on my Windows phone, I had this. On Android platform, turn-by-turn directions have been there for everybody else except Apple.
But, and most people don't know this. There's an app called Waze, W-A-Z-E.
Yes.
That does that if you don't have that.
Yes, exactly. But it hasn't been native to the system.
Correct.
And it had to be somebody else putting it on top of it.
Well, you could actually use AAA. And you don't have to belong to AAA, but there's a AAA app.
Turn by turn,
and it's called Triptych. Guess what? It's called Triptych.
Okay, yeah.
Right, but it does the same thing. In fact, it looks like it might be Google. So that that might be a problem for Apple. But you can do it that way if you don't want to use Google itself. You also get the discounts, which is what I like.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a AAA member, too. So, but the big deal is that Apple's now going to bake this into its system.
Right.
And then Mountain Lion will be the next addition to be having on the MacBook laptops and desktop.
Yep, more hardware, faster hardware, better hardware.
So this is all kind of setting the scene, and we may see even bigger things coming out this fall.
And plus Siri coming as well to the iOS 6. You're going to see that for iPad 3.
Okay, excellent. Eric, thank you so much. Eric Anderson with his Mac Minute here on the Internet Advisor. Coming back in just a few minutes, we're going to start taking your calls at 800-859-0957. Thank you for joining us now for this second hour of the Internet Advisor, the time when we take your calls and get some answers for you. And we got some folks lined up. By the way, the line's open here at 800-859-0957, as the young lady said. I just quickly, I want to tell you that Shane has got just a basket full of goodies for those of you looking for Father's Day gifts. Shane, we're going to run through a couple of them as we're going on for the program. We're going to take some calls, and maybe before we step out of this segment, we'll talk about one of them, all right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're on our homepage. If you go to internetadvisor.net, you'll see that list of Shane's best tech gifts for Dad's Day under $100. Okay, let's dive into our calls, and Gary, Shane, and Emily here, standing by, ready to answer some questions. And Ray, welcome from Detroit.
Hi, how are you?
Doing very well, sir. What can we do for you here?
Well, I left all the symptoms with the lady that called. Mm-hmm. But what I have is I think my computer's running away.
All right.
Figuratively speaking, of course.
Yes, of course.
When I start it up, it starts up normally, but I can just be sitting there idle, and next thing I know, I'm getting a broadcast in from the outside, and I haven't even started an Explorer session.
You're saying you're getting a broadcast in from the outside? Meaning what? Like a website shows up?
Well, no, not a website. Just the audio is on there. And that's just one of the symptoms. What I did was I had an antivirus app that was installed when I bought it.
Okay.
It ran. Every time I got on, it would run, take care of business, and it would hibernate. Last week, it started to run every 5 or 10 minutes to where I had no performance. So I went through the formal installation procedures and took it off. Mm-hmm. Ever since I took it off, now when I start an internet session, this thing will start 4 or 5, 10 or 20 pages, and they all say blank page.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll sit there and it'll flash up, do I want to restore my last session, or go to the homepage.
Okay, hang on a second. Let's see if we can get some analysis here first.
So, how old is your machine?
It's like just over 3 years.
Okay, and when you know, they put the freeware on for 2-3 months, then you turned around and you purchased the antivirus package. Which one was it?
Well, actually, I didn't buy it. It's been running since I bought the machine.
Okay, but Gary's question is, I guess.
So we now have, I think we now know some of the problem. You know, they put a free version on, but then it only lasts for maybe 3 months, sometimes 6 months, and then you have to either purchase it or you have to replace it with a free antivirus program.
So you're continually updating the virus definitions.
Okay, now I bought it after the 3 months or the 6 months. I didn't do anything. So it's been running on its own.
So it doesn't.
For over 3 years.
So it's okay. So
I don't know if it's updating or not. Shane,
where did you buy it?
Actually, I bought it from somebody I worked with.
Okay. So, did they build the machine, you mean?
Yeah, they built the machine.
So they probably put a free antivirus program on it for you.
They did. Now, it was AVG.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's possible then. Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. And that thing ran. Like I said, once every time I turned it on, it would run, and I never had any issues with it. Mm-hmm. And then last week, it started running every 5 or 10 minutes.
Okay, Ray, let me just ask kind of quickly to telescope this here. What operating system are you running?
I'm running XP.
Windows XP Pro. Okay, Shane, you have some
Points? AVG will sometimes say there's an update, and they're really wanting you to go to the paid version. And sometimes people just think it's just an update, and they'll run that paid version, and then it'll expire. But, you know, when you're saying it used to run every time you restart it, well, there's a little option in there that says if I didn't complete that last scan, run it when I restart. Right. So that's probably what's not happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, originally when it would run, complete the scan, tell me it stopped.
Yep.
Okay.
Show me whatever it found, and then it gave me the options to address them or ignore them.
But right now, Ray, the symptom is this that we're dealing with, that you are, when you open up your session in the browser, suddenly you're getting all sorts of windows opening up. Windows.
He took AVG off.
But right now, his particular problem is that this is going crazy when he opens up a browser.
Well, the thing that scares me is he's hearing the broadcast.
Audio. Right.
And that's telling me that there's some kind of malware, some kind of virus, kind of rootkit in there that is broadcasting. Really what it is probably an advertisement or something. And I've had that happen to me before. And what you're going to need to do is obviously run some malware scans, probably in safe mode. Regular Windows mode won't do the trick. And on the website, you know, internetadvisor.net, we've got that toolkit, and all those are in there. And if you're Ray, are you familiar with going into safe mode?
You know, very, very little, because I've never had any.
Okay, here's what we're going to do, Ray, in order to make sure that we get you answered and everybody else is lining up here as well.
Okay.
Safe mode is simply you shut your computer down, start it up again, and tap the F8. That's the F as in Frank, function 8 button at the top row. Tap it repeatedly until you'll see a black and white screen come up. And then it'll begin the process then of setting up your safe mode, and you can choose safe mode with networking, for instance.
Which is what I'd recommend, so that you can do the updates that are required to run those scans.
And then at that point, you may also want to try to do a virus scan. Do you have something like Malwarebytes on your computer?
No, I have just whatever was loaded when I bought it.
Okay, then you might want to, as Shane has said, in our toolkit on our homepage at internetadvisor.net, there is a resource there where you can download it. You're probably going to have to go to somebody else's computer, download it, put it on a thumb drive, and then bring it over and install
and
it on yours.
Because I have a laptop sitting downstairs.
That's fine.
That'll be
because
fine.
Then you take that, and then you can use that to try to clean it out. You may, however, be in a position where things are so badly fouled up that you may have to reinstall the operating system from scratch. And that is, it's a headache, but you may be so badly, and the registry may be so screwed up down below. But try it first with the Malwarebytes and try that. And the Combo Fix is the other one that you can use.
In combination.
In combination with the
two
of them.
You should use both of those.
Okay.
So the other thing that you want to do when you have problems with antivirus, you might want to go back to the antivirus site, in this case AVG, and try to update the virus definitions. It's possible that you had malware that got in behind AVG, but you're still better off keeping AVG on, because when you take it off, now you are basically, your computer is unprotected at all.
There's a lot, and there's a lot of other ones. You could use AVG, or there's Avast, which is another one that Ed's got in the toolkit there as well. So there are a lot of free ones up there that work very well that you could use. Okay, Ray?
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much, Ray. It's a complicated one. You don't want to pull at all those strings, because there's a lot of potential.
Yeah, I thought it was, when I had that virus, I thought it was going crazy, because I kept hearing something and I couldn't figure out where it was coming from. It was coming from my laptop.
Yeah.
And essentially it was that something had gotten into the system.
Yeah. Well, before we take Linda, I'm going to give you my first gift idea.
Yes, please.
For Father's Day. There's actually a game coming out, a big game. And I'm a gamer, and I know a lot of fathers are gamers. If you want to, I would recommend you go and pre-order online Guild Wars 2. That's the game that's coming out. It's a huge multiplayer online game, and it comes out in a couple months. Now you'd say, well, why would I pre-order it now before Father's Day? Well, if you pre-order it now, he'll be able to, on the weekends, beta test for free.
And it's
kind of cool to beta test the game if you've never done it before. It's kind of like you feel like you're helping develop the game for release. So that would be my first recommendation. You pre-order Guild Wars 2 for your father, if he's a gamer.
You know, my son would do something like that. And taking after my father, who bought my mother for Mother's Day a canoe. So my mother bought my dad for Father's Day a croquet set. Just, you know, go figure.
Right? That's right.
So I could see my son buying a game for me like this.
There you go.
Yeah, for Father's Day.
You'll find these gifts, by the way, that Shane's talking about, under Shane's Best Tech Gifts for Dad under $100. And that's the number one. Pre-order the game, Guild Wars 2.
Yes.
What does it run, by the way?
It's going to be, the nice thing about this is most online games are, you pay one fee, $50, $60, and then you pay them monthly. Mm-hmm. Well, Guild Wars 2 isn't like, do you pay the one time, you know, $50? Mm-hmm. And then it's free to play every month.
Excellent. Nice. Excellent. So, Emily, we're going to be going quickly to a break. I want to ask you a question that somebody asked me about Facebook. The other day he said suddenly he got email, and it was to an email address of him at Facebook that he had never seen before. He didn't know that he had an email address at Facebook. Do we all have email addresses at Facebook?
I'm going to have to dig on my own personal profile here, because I have seen that.
Yeah, he said, where is this? Who is this person? And it was himself, and it was his name plus a number behind it that suddenly showed up as an email address. Something was sent to him at that address, and he thought, where in the world did it come from? And one of the problems with Facebook is there's really no help desk to go to.
Right. You know what's funny? I actually just went, I went to my profile. I clicked on my About section, and as I scrolled quickly down under the contact info, I see, you know, screen name, website, email, Emily A. Hay at Facebook.com. Now, I've never set up any sort of exactly. Facebook email.
So
right.
Apparently it's set up for you then by Facebook.
I wouldn't even know where to go to retrieve those emails.
I wouldn't either. Yeah, that was. And he was asking the same question because it had his name plus a number after it.
Ah. Maybe give people that you don't want to get emails from that email address.
That's the way to handle it. Okay, here's the phone number, 800-859-0957. Linda will be with you in just a moment to talk with you. Charlie as well from Livonia. And if you've got a question for us, well, then Gary, Shane, and Emily and I are here to help you out today at the Internet Advisor. Thank you for joining us on the Internet Advisor. Today we're focusing on social media, actually answering all sorts of questions out there, but we had one that was raised just before we went to the break. Emily Hay is our social media expert in here. We also have another social media maven in with us, and that is Sherry Cam, who was on during the first hour. We were talking about Facebook just before we went to the break, and I said a friend of mine says suddenly this email address showed up, or email to him at an address from Facebook, and he thought, I don't have a Facebook address, do I? And so in the break, Sherry, you were explaining to us that we are all are on our computers finding messages we didn't know we had on our Facebook page.
Yes. Facebook has created this other in-mail box, primarily in hopes of getting and calling all of those spam emails that you get. But if you have somebody liking your page, or if you have somebody sending you messages that you've never really friended or accepted as a friend or somehow included in your group, they can also end up in this other box. It is not intuitive to click on that other box.
Now, and the way you get to it, folks, and Sherry showed us this, is if you go to your Facebook page and then go to the messages on the left, it says messages, like newsfeed messages. If you click on messages, below it suddenly this thing is other pops up. And she, what did you find when you clicked on that?
Yeah, I had never gone to my other. So, you know, thanks, Sherry, for pointing it out. And there were some creepers.
Yeah, some
creepy spam messages.
It's like spam and junk. It's not necessarily ones you've solicited, right?
That is correct. But everyone has the allowance of an email address through Facebook, but you have to accept it. You have to actually take that message with you and say, yes, I will set it up. But for other businesses who do have website or Facebook pages, they also have that opportunity to name their Facebook under their URL, their name plus the word Facebook. So I encourage anybody who is trying to set something up to promote themselves to, yes, accept the URL that has just their name and then the extension of Facebook.
Okay, very
so,
good.
So, Dr. Mike and the Sea Monkey, sorry I missed all your concerts. So, actually, I do know him. That's Mike Ball. And he does have a band called the Sea Monkeys. Sorry I missed the concert.
Okay, let's get back to our phone calls. And thank you very much, Sherry, for explaining that to us, some of the mysteries of Facebook on Earth here.
Yep.
Linda, welcome to the Internet Advisor. You approached us with a question today, a pretty disconcerting one, I understand, with Windows 7, or I should say Vista, then you moved to Windows 7, and you've had some problems. Tell us about them.
Correct. When I bought the upgrade of Windows 7, mm-hmm. and then I installed it and followed all the instructions.
Right.
Now, I've never reinstalled, but every time that I log on, what happens is you'll get the little Windows box.
Right.
Then it'll take you to what should be the log-on screen for you to put your password in,
right. Mm-hmm.
and I get a black screen.
Mm.
And if I just keep hitting the Enter key, then it'll take me to just like a window screen for me to log off, and then if I try that 5, 6, 7 times, I'll get my log-on box to log onto the computer.
Oh, wow. So you have to go through all sorts of rigmarole before you can even get to getting into your page. Shane,
yes.
any thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, it kind of sounds like her Explore.exe is corrupted some sort, because what will happen is you'll get that black screen, right?
Yes.
No icons. Nothing.
Nothing,
yeah.
Nothing, yeah.
What happens is if sometimes it fails to start, or it starts and then corrupts out, and that's kind of what starts a whole GUI to come up, the interface.
Your interface, right.
And your icons. And what normally when that happens is sometimes it might be a sign that there's something on your computer, a virus, most cases, sometimes. Or it could be just a corruption of the Windows file. How long has this been happening? Ever since you upgraded to Windows 7?
Yes, which has actually been almost a year.
Yeah, it's probably when they did the upgrade, something didn't go right.
I've heard that the upgrade from Vista to 7 was troublesome.
It was.
There were problems.
Especially the first CDs that came out. I mean, they've fixed it since then.
Well, it's really hard to upgrade. It's really taking Vista or, well, XP, you can't get there from here. You got to go through Vista.
Could she do a clean install of 7?
She could.
Obviously, that's always the fix for everything. Right. That's, you know, you back up.
What will she lose? But
she gets in eventually. But I would back up everything and then do that. But you can also try to do what they call do a control alt delete, and that will bring up your task manager.
Oh, yes.
And once you have that control alt delete, you'll see task manager. You click on that, and you can actually go into where the processes are and just restart Explore. Just type in explore.exe and hit run or restart.
Oh, really?
Restart it again. And most cases, if it's corrupted, it'll shut it down, restart it, and it works a lot of times.
So explain how to do that again to Linda as an option.
What you're going to do is you're just going to hit control alt delete. And what will happen is you'll see your task manager will pop up. You'll see an option there to log out, but you'll see start task manager. And you'll go into your task manager, and there's actually an area there, the first tab, the applications. What you can do is just go into your applications, hit new task at the bottom left, and just type in, you know, explorer.exe and hit OK, and that will restart it a lot of times. If it doesn't, then that means that it's a little further advanced in the corruption, or there's some kind of spyware or virus.
So then the other options then after that, Linda, would be to see if there is spyware on it, or the other thing would be back up all the data you've got, and you're going to have to reinstall some programs, but basically then you would take your disks for the Windows 7?
Well, she probably has the upgrade disks.
Oh, yeah, that's
right.
I have an upgrade disk.
You know, as long as she has a functioning Windows 7 license, she can borrow anybody's media as long as it matches that license key. Home premium, or it can't be, you know, can't go pro, can't load pro and then give them a home premium.
What we mean, Linda, by the key?
In other words, that when I type in that when you register your Windows 7,
that
you have
big,
that
long string of numbers and letters.
Correct.
If you've got that around, that's your key.
That's your key.
So you could take anybody else, provided it's the same system. For instance, if it's Windows 7 Pro or Home or whatever it is.
Yes, it's got a match.
Home Premium.
Then you can borrow anyone's full Home Premium, and I would recommend you get the latest one with the service packs.
Yes.
So you don't have to go through all the updates.
Okay.
Okay.
Do that?
Okay, I can see who might have one.
You'd be surprised. There's a lot of people that have them. Just ask around.
Recently got a computer.
Make sure you get your backup of everything that's, you know, not replaceable.
So backup first, then get hold of one of those installed disks. Keep that number that you had from your first the upgrade, okay?
Correct.
That will be the one that you'll put in when it says register, okay? And then that should let you have a key, all right?
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Let us know on our website how it goes.
Okay?
Okay, I sure will.
Thank you, and appreciate that. All right, let's head out now to Charlie from Livonia. Charlie, thank you for being there patient with us. You have some challenges with Office 2007.
I do. I actually have a daughter that's extremely intelligent, where her dad is not as smart. I bought the Office 2007 package. Mm-hmm. It allowed me to hook up to three different computers, because I have three in the house.
The student version.
Right. I had new computers for her and me, both Dells, and I had, I guess, a trial version of 2010 on there, which I uninstalled.
Office 2010.
So I figured, let's make this, you know, nice and clean. I installed 2007, registered it, did everything like they want us to do, and it worked fine. My daughter says, Dad, the autocorrect feature doesn't work. Check yours. I did. It didn't work. So
the autocorrect.
There is a way to turn it on, you know, through normal channels, which I did. None of that worked on any of the computers. And there's about 10 different things on Google on how to fix it.
Yeah.
I'd really like to know what you guys have come across, because it seems to be a pretty common.
Well, obviously you read probably that there's a way to, you know, go in and repair the autocorrect feature by changing the name to old and then reloading. It'll repair itself once it reboots. But, you know, have you tried to completely strip it out again and then reinstall it?
That I have not done. That was like a last ditch effort. But
let me step in here for a second. I think Microsoft offers you a tool
Yes.
For removing it, doesn't it?
Correct.
Yeah, you really need to go to Microsoft to get that tool to remove it so that it removes all of it. Because if you try to take it by bits and pieces, you'll have stuff left in there.
And that's probably what's going on is the old 2010 is still lingering in there. And we all know Windows uninstaller isn't the greatest. It leaves stuff, you know, it leaves stuff behind.
Okay, and, so the removal tool would be for 2010?
Yeah, what I would do is, correct, first thing you're going to want to do is do the complete uninstall for the 7. You're not going to lose your documents. Everything will stay there. Do the complete removal tool for 7, strip it out the proper way, and then download the 2010 removal tool. It might be a combination tool that does them both.
Right.
We don't know, but it probably is. And then strip it all out properly. And then what I like to do is when I uninstall programs is I like to go into the programs area and make sure the folders are gone too.
Okay.
You know, the My Programs and see if there's any Office files in there. So good luck with that.
Yep.
That's really what you do is you strip it out and reinstall it if you just can't figure it out.
Okay, Charlie.
All right.
Take a crack at that, and we'll see if you and your smart daughter get some things fixed, all right? Back in just a minute to talk with Frank from Monroe, and we'll take your question as well at 800-859-0957. Shane will have some more gifts to talk about, too. This has been a wild show this week.
It has been wonderful.
Hasn't it? We have had all sorts of fun going on here. And talk about social media. My Lord, we have been doing all sorts of things. Gary Baker, Shane Hamlin, and Emily Hay here in studio. By the way, folks, before we go any further, Kenny Tucker, thank you so much for being our engineer behind the glass.
Yeah,
Annie Nichols, thank you, as well as our screener, and for all the folks who make the show possible. I want to just quickly say, since we have Emily in here, we have a Facebook page for the Internet Advisor. And what I'm trying to do, by the way, nowadays, folks, is I put a lot of the news stuff that we get during the week in there. So it's over and above the content that's on our homepage at internetadvisor.net. So check that out, please. We have pictures, for instance, from the guests who are in studio. They'll be in there as well. So please do visit our homepage there at the Internet Advisor on Facebook. You can find us there.
You know, Foster, I was going to say as well, when we take calls and people ask, we don't know everything, and sometimes we get it wrong, go to the website or the Facebook site and let us know.
Yes.
How did our recommendation turn out for you, or did it not work? And this way we can even follow up with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking of those calls, let's get back and take another one here. Frank from Monroe, welcome to the Internet Advisor. What can we do for you?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been using Norton Internet Securities for the last few years, and I just went and bought, I was thinking about switching to that Kaspersky, and I was wondering what your guys' opinion on that, if it's a better Kaspersky Pure 2.0 total security.
What operating system are you running right now?
I got a PC with a Windows 7 and then an older laptop with, I think, Windows Vista.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're asking about which one of your machines were you asking about, the Windows 7? Because
the PC. That's the one we do our banking on, but I'm sure, I don't know. Will it work on the older Acer laptop with Windows Vista?
Let me tell you why I asked the question. We just recently had an article. We mentioned it last week, and I think I may have posted it in the Facebook page. They've done a study of the free software suites out there, and they said that actually Microsoft's Security Essentials with Windows 7, that combination is a winner.
Mm-hmm.
It is very good. Now, it's not
sponsored
foolproof.
Sponsored by Microsoft.
None of them are.
None of them are. Yeah. But, for instance, I've been running Jenny's machine. I have a Windows 7 there for 2 years at least without a wrinkle.
Yeah.
Without a wrinkle.
You know, I will tell you that I've never paid for antivirus.
You know, that's what I was going to ask Frank.
Only
I said,
because
Frank,
the free ones are great.
Well, why are you even buying? I can't, in this day and age, why are you buying software?
For one thing,
they get the, when it's 3 o'clock in the morning, I get the free 24/7 support. I guess that's what
we're here for.
Norton.
So Kaspersky is a good firm.
Yes.
It has great reputation. Last week we talked about Kaspersky. We had the former director of the CIA on talking about the Stuxnet virus.
Yeah, and the flame. They were the ones that found the flame.
Yep. Right. They were. And that's exactly what he was saying. And we know that they are a very good firm. I just, again, I'll go back to my statement. I've never paid for antivirus because the free ones are so good. And
How do I download this? What was the one you were talking about, Microsoft?
Go to Microsoft. It's called Security Essentials. Just type it in.
And it's a very low, very small resources. It doesn't tax up your machine. It runs very smooth.
Today, for instance, it caught three. It caught three on my machine, my wife's machine.
Now, Frank, also in Monroe, you get Comcast, right?
No, we're on on Charter.
You're on Charter? Charter. Okay, so they all, I don't know which one Charter has, but they all have free antivirus.
Yeah. I used that before and I didn't like it because, like you said, of course, that was on an older machine. It slowed it down.
Yeah.
So, and it depends. There's some better than others.
Now, excuse me. I want to back up on something that we just said, Frank, and that is on your older machine, I would not depend on the Security Essentials.
No, I would not do that.
Because with XP, am I right in this, Shane? It is not an active firewall.
Correct.
So you want to use something like an Avast, which is free, and
or
get our toolkit, or ABG.
ABG is good.
In our toolkit, you'll find those. Let's put them together there. The free ones work very well. But again, the...
Well, I think the laptop has Windows Vista. What would you recommend for that?
Vista, not Essentials, probably one of the free ones, but for certainly Windows 7, I would use Microsoft.
Okay, Frank.
Definitely.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Great question, because people are asking.
And your internet provider, almost all of them. Comcast has Norton, but you know they all have free. They want you to be protected because it helps everybody on the network.
Exactly. It pollutes them. Their swimming pool if that gets hit too.
You know, let me get real quick. I'm going to go. I know we're running out of time. We get into these calls and we don't always get to everything. Now, my list for Father's Day gifts.
Yeah. Oh, that's get to the website.
Is on the website. So head over to internetadvisors.net. Grab that list. You'll see the stuff there. There's links as well to the websites.
And these and it's late. Father's Day is tomorrow. You can still get those gifts.
Oh,
right?
Of course.
Go on.
Another one that I want to mention is Apple TV. It's out. It's a little device. You hook it up to your
little black
TV.
And you need to get that shipped to you. So you just have to give a card.
Well, the Apple Store has it.
But
Micro Center?
Oh, can you get it right from the Apple Store?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
Apple Store,
so.
Micro Center. Yeah.
Yeah. Under $100?
Yeah.
I think.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. No? Yes.
All right.
Have you used it, Shane?
I have not. Now, I wish I did. I've used devices like that, and Foster and I were talking about a device earlier.
Like a Roku box, Boxy box.
Correct. There's a lot of them out there, but this is a new product from Apple, and it got good reviews, so that's important.
So you're right. You probably get down to Micro Center.
Yeah.
Probably Best Buy has it, too.
Yes.
But you just got to get there by 9 o'clock tonight.
So. Is that the official cutoff for Father's Day?
No, but it's when they close.
Sure.
Yeah, and while you're there, also, you want to look for Logitech Harmony 650 Master Remote. This remote is really nice.
Oh, Dad's remote.
Well, here's the thing.
Dun, dun, dun.
I have one. I've got an older version, but you've got 6-7 remotes for everything.
You're right.
This thing
I have 3 of them sitting next to me on the couch. You're right.
So easy to program. You plug it in your computer. You type what you have. It programs it for you.
Oh, wow.
It's got a color LCD. It's absolutely wonderful. All under $100. And another one is a gaming keyboard. If you're going to play some games, you know, we mentioned some games earlier in my list, you need a nice Logitech gaming keyboard, which is a G110. It's on our website. It's pre-lit, so you can see the screens at night.
Ooh.
And it's programmable, so you can program your keys to do certain things within game.
So
you're not button mashing.
Right.
Really, really helpful.
I love it.
Gamer.
This whole list, folks, by the way, is at internetadvisor.net. You'll see that Shane's Tech Gifts for Dad, under $100. Yes. Thank you, Shane.
You're
welcome. Great ideas. Okay, Al from Birmingham. Well, make sure we get your question or your comment in before we wrap things up. How you doing?
Fine, thank you. I love your show. I've got a problem. My wife, the two of us have had phone and the internet. Now she decided she's got a real good deal on cable and telephone, leaving me in the lurch on internet. Have you got any advice for me going with internet all by itself or a combination of all three might be better than what she's got?
When you say cable is just internet coming into your home from the cable company.
Oh, okay.
So
that
you
would
can
be like what, AT&T or Comcast, you mean?
Either one.
Whoever is providing your cable essentially will just give you a little box called a modem.
Okay.
And from that modem, then you can hook off to your TV, and you'll also be able to hook off to the internet.
Oh, very good.
I mean, they have packages they put together, which
and some people buy all three from one provider.
Right. They call it a triple play.
We did a show a few weeks ago where all you bought was the internet, and then you pulled together a bunch of different resources to get your TV, and you didn't have to buy TV. Cable TV from Comcast.
So. There's a lot of stuff out there to do that.
It's a little dicey. But to your concern, Al, was are you going to lose your internet when your wife goes with a cable package? No.
Well,
just
have to
get the price in so that we can really afford it.
But that's exactly it. Now, by the way,
all three.
I still want the internet.
Push them hard. Al, push them hard on price. Really?
Okay, very good.
Shop them against one another and say, I'm going to go somewhere else.
Even if you've got to make it up.
Yep.
Okay, good. Thank you very much, guys.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Good job.
Father's Day will be him surfing and contentedly.
That's right.
Folks, thank you so much. Emily Hay, as always, good to have you in studio here with you.
Thanks for having me.
And check out our homepage, internetadvisor.net, for all the links from today's show. Shane Hamlin, good to have you in.
I'm always on there, and I'm always helping people.
Gary Baker, as always, good to have you around as well.
My pleasure.
Folks, don't forget that all of our show notes with all the many different things we've had, you'll find at internetadvisor.net. In addition to that, we have a Facebook page, and there we put special stories throughout the week and also pictures of people who are in the studios. It's a wonderful way also to communicate with us there. And we have our forums up where 24/7 you can get your questions in and get some answers. Thanks so much for being here for the Internet Advisor. We'll be with you again soon.
You've been listening to a podcast of WJR's Internet Advisor. To hear previous podcasts, visit our webpage at internetadvisor.net.